Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Stephen A. Smith, coming at you right here over the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. You know I love coming to y'all. You know I got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It appears that we are ending the government shutdown. 43 days, 43 nights. American citizens working for the feds were not receiving a check. 43 days, the longest government shutdown in United States history. The longest before this was 2018 and the 2019 under then President Donald Trump in his first term. Needless to say, the now longest shutdown was also with Donald Trump in office as the President of the United States, 45 and now 47. We can look at it any way we want to. And we got a lot of stuff to get into. And don't you worry, I'm going to get into these damn Epstein files in just a second. We can look at it any way we want to. We can slice it any way we want to. And put the number up on the screen, please, so I can see it for calling the POTUS Radio right here. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Smith. Listen, when you look at what has transpired, it's pretty damn annoying, to say the least. You just find yourself wondering what the hell is going on. I'm still disgusted because there's no excuse for this. Now, I don't know about anybody else, and everybody's talking about, you know what, pick a side. Damn, y'all, shut the hell up. I'll pick whatever side I want to pick. It's not about a side in this particular instance. It's about government officials in the White House, in Congress, on the Senate, that didn't come together to get a deal done for 43 days and nights. We've had Speaker Mike Johnson on this show. We've had Representative Jim Jordan on the show. We've had elected officials like Akeem Jeffries, the Democratic House Speaker. We've had them all on this show, and everybody's got their excuses. But in the end, this government shutdown needed to come to an end. And that's why I'm kind of surprised, and I don't know why I should be, but I am, that we have a situation where we've got elected officials on the Democratic side losing their damn minds, calling folks out, acting like it's a picket line that was crossed, for crying out loud. And how dare folks on the Democratic side do this? Hold down the fort. Don't cave. Don't do everything you can to make sure that the Republicans don't get the 60 votes necessary to push through a continual resolution. Now, the Republicans will have you say, and they'll remind you that when Biden, during his administration, from 2021 to 2025, they signed a CR 14 separate occasions. But the Democrats wouldn't do it during Trump's first term. They wouldn't do it now. Why? Because you're talking about the Affordable Care Act subsidies that they were trying to stretch. Things that were put into place because COVID came along, by the way, that had an expiration date of December 31st, 2025, that they wanted to extend into perpetuity. And the Republicans weren't going for that, which everybody knew, because Trump has been after squashing Obamacare since 2014, 2 years before he became president the first go-round. So why in God's name would he do anything to push forward with Affordable Care Act, ACA subsidies, for another year, another 3 years, another 5 years? Why would he do that? It's one thing for them to do it during COVID. It's another thing entirely for them to do it now. We knew he was going to hold down the fort. I don't blame folks like Fetterman out of Pennsylvania, or anybody else for that matter, from New Hampshire, from Pennsylvania, from Nevada, all the elected officials from Nevada. I don't blame them one bit. I side with the Democrats who ultimately crossed the line and said, yo, this is killing the American citizens in our district. And what the Democrats to me are not realizing is that you're essentially confessing to the fact that this was a plan all along, that you had every intention of the government being shut down, that you knew there was no way in hell that you were willing to capitulate to anything involving the CR that the GOP put forth to you from last spring when Chuck Schumer wouldn't go along with it and didn't produce a government shutdown, to this time around where he obviously took a different position, at least publicly, because he's afraid to lose his power in his Senate seat because he hears the footsteps of AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, creeping up behind him to take over his Senate seat in 2028. We know what's going on here. We know what's going on. But in the end, to me, when you're talking about 42 million people on SNAP that were in danger of not being fed while Thanksgiving is approaching, when you see the inordinate amount of flight delays that have taken place because air traffic controllers ain't at work in abundance, some being furloughed, some being let go, folks wondering about whether they will get paid retroactively, which ultimately this new CR is supposed to resolve. All of those concerns are legitimate. All of it. And they said, no, we can't go for that. We can't go for that. And just for the record, you see the screen right there. In regards to the shutdown, 45% of registered voters think Republicans in Congress are more responsible for the government shutdown. 39% think Democrats in Congress are more responsible, and 11% volunteered that they think both parties are equally responsible. Among independents, 48% think Republicans in Congress are more responsible. 32% think Democrats in Congress are more responsible. 14% volunteered that they think both parties are equally responsible. If you're the Democrats, that's good news. Because considering how you got blown out during the 2024 election, these numbers would be considered improved numbers. Because now you're gaining traction. We saw you win the mayoral seat with a socialist in New York City. We saw you win gubernatorial seats in New Jersey with Mickey Sherrill and with Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. So if you're the Democrats and you're having those kind of wins, even though everybody and their grandmama knew those were blue states and they weren't going to lose to the GOP in those states, the bottom line is you think you're gaining traction. And because you thought you were gaining traction, you're willing to sit out even longer. What was the reason for that? Because you want to regain power, which I'm not faulting. But when we're talking about the American people suffering during the shutdown, spanning 43 days, and we talk about people not being fed during Thanksgiving holidays, and we're talking about travel nightmares, and we're talking about people being furloughed, and we're talking about people having to work for the federal government knowing they're not receiving a check, while elected officials on Capitol Hill over these 8 weeks were receiving checks, still maintain their medical coverage, weren't accumulating bills that they couldn't pay. This is why people find themselves disgusted with politicians. So to listen to them and to hear them disgusted at themselves is not a bad thing. Good. Hope you're stressed like living hell because you deserve what you brought upon the American people. Maybe you should taste some of it yourself. So let's just go down the list. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC on Schumer. Cut one, Griff. Play that for me, please.
Should Schumer stay as minority leader?
I think what is so important for folks to understand is that this problem is bigger than one person, and it actually is bigger than the minority leader in the Senate. You had 8 Senate Democrats who coordinated this, their own votes on this, as well as you have 2 retiring members. Many of them are also up in several cycles from now, with the hope that people are going to forget this moment. And I think what's important is that we understand that this is not just. A leader is reflected as a reflection of the party, and Senate Democrats have selected their leadership to represent them. And so the question needs to be bigger than just one person. We have several Senate primaries this cycle. I know I'm being asked about New York. That is years from now. I have to remind my own constituents because they think that this election is this year. We actually do have Senate elections this year. And my hope is that people across this country actually participate in their primary elections in selecting their leadership. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a nice answer. We understand it, but that's much ado about nothing. She wants the Senate seat, and she should. And the likelihood is that if she ran against Chuck Schumer, she would beat him because he is his unpopularity has definitely grown. I can say that. And we understand that because he's being blamed for it because he couldn't keep people together. My whole point is this. If you have representatives from Pennsylvania, from Nevada, from New Hampshire, etc., okay, and their constituency their voters are really, really feeling the pinch. What, they're just supposed to go along with the other 39, 40 plus Democrats in the House and say, yo, we just gonna let our own constituency suffer over something like this, over people being fed, over people paying bills? That's what they're supposed to do? I don't get it. But Ro Khanna, Representative Ro Khanna, he didn't mince words. He didn't dance as much as AOC just did there. He was a bit more direct. Griff, play cut two.
You've called on Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to step aside. You say he's no longer effective as a leader. Explain this for our viewers, because he did vote against this compromise that you oppose. Why are you mad at him?
Jake, you've covered politics a long time. Yes, he voted no, but eight senators who said they consulted him daily go and vote yes. One of those people is his number two. He's not going to do that without Senator Schumer's sign off. And then conveniently, all eight of those senators aren't up for re-election in 2026. This is the D.C. way. Senator Schumer could have blocked this if he had wanted to. And one of the challenges is, in addition to the health care premium spikes, it undermines the narrative that this was a Trump shutdown. If eight Democratic senators could have ended it, we should have kept the pressure on.
Did you hear that? They should have kept the pressure on. By not doing so, it gave depression and undermined the narrative that this was a Trump shutdown, which essentially is the Democrats admitting that the plan all along was to make this look like a Trump shutdown. Therefore, it could be politically expedient and they could gain traction and gain some favor with the voters out there with the midterms coming up. Because that's what this was about. Nobody's fooled here. And I'm not even saying it's a faulty strategy on the part of the Democrats. What I'm saying is, damn, what the hell were you doing to find another way? See, this is where I come back to. This is where Stephen A. Smith comes into play. Because what pisses me off to no end is that had you done your job prior to the election, this wouldn't have been necessary. Had you paid attention to the economy, had you paid attention to affordability, had you paid attention to safety in the streets, had you paid attention to our borders instead of having open borders, allowing Trump to make it look like we were being invaded, for crying out loud, because of the extreme with which he embellished illegal immigration being pervasive in this country. Had you focused on that and the real issues instead of focusing on woke culture and cancel culture and making sure everybody echoed the right pronouns and making sure everybody marched lockstep and parroting your speech, you'd have won the damn election. Had you made sure that Kamala Harris and the Democrats as a party wasn't able to circumvent the democratic process and actually went through a primary by getting Biden out of there when you knew he wasn't suited for four more years, instead of holding on for dear life until he had a debate on a June 27th, knowing that he would leave office 3 weeks later and it would be too late to have a primary so you could circumvent the democratic process, maybe you wouldn't be in this position. But you did it anyway. And now you want the American people to make up for your foolishness. You want the American people to sign off on that. Oh, now you will care about the Affordable Care Act. Now you care about the subsidies. Now you're paying attention to premium prices doubling come December 31st. Now you're paying attention to all of that, huh? How come you didn't do that before? How come you didn't focus on that before? This is what I'm talking about. I know the GOP's hands ain't clean in all of this. Mike Johnson delaying the process. Trump doing everything he can to create headlines everywhere else because he doesn't want us focusing on the Epstein files. We were born at night, not last night. You know what the hell is going on. But the Dems ain't innocent in all of this. Not by a damn sight. Speaking of the Epstein files, Representative Adelita Grijalva, she was a guest on the show. She was sworn in this afternoon. And she spoke about the Epstein files because ABC News came out with a story today linking Trump to the Epstein files because Jeffrey Epstein, seen during emails or via emails, essentially alluded to the fact that Trump knew about the girls, whatever that means, without specificity. Adelita Ruoholva spoke about that because obviously once she's sworn in, she's the final deciding vote for the Epstein files to be opened and essentially given to the public, supposedly. And here she is today on the House floor speaking about it. Griff, play cut five.
Just this morning, House Democrats released more emails showing that Trump knew more about Epstein's abuses than he previously acknowledged. It's past time for Congress to restore its role as a check and balance on this administration and fight for we, the American people. We need to fight for our immigrant communities and veterans. We need to stand up for our public schools, children, and educators. We need to respect tribal sovereignty and our environment. We need to stand up for LGBTQ plus rights because that's what the American people expect us to do. Fight for them. That is why I will sign the discharge petition right now to release the Epstein files.
Y'all cool with that? I have no problem with the Epstein files being exposed. I think anybody who's done what Jeffrey Epstein did should be thrown under the damn jail. They should spend the rest of their natural born life in prison if he was alive to do it. Young girls being sexually molested is as disgusting as it gets. It is as vile as it gets. We ain't making any excuses for anybody like that. What a despicable, despicable human being. There's a special place in hell for people like that. But that's not what anybody can definitively associate the president with. He knew Epstein, so did Bill Clinton. So did a plethora of other famous people inside and outside the world of politics. Incriminating emails, well, what specifically and how significant was it? And when we sit up there as Democrats and we're applauding on the House floor, now that Adelita Ruoholva was there talking about she'll be the final vote to sit up there and open the Epstein files, and everybody's applauding for the Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that the Epstein files were in existence and free to have been opened during the Biden administration. You were there for 4 years. How come you didn't open it as a Democratic Party then? What am I missing? I'm not saying I know. It's a legitimate question. Maybe I don't remember the answer. Maybe my extraordinary producers should be able to help me during the commercial break. But from my understanding, the same files that were opened or being open now with the 220 pages of documents or whatever it is, with various emails, that could have been done when Biden was in office. Well, why didn't you do it? If it's so important now, what were the Democrats doing at that particular moment in time? See? This is the kind of stuff that smells. Because my attitude is, just deducing how much they despise Trump is, if there was some real bona fide dirt on them, since you went after him with the 34 felony convictions, which essentially was deduced to him paying hush money to Stormy Daniels, a porn star, just so she wouldn't reveal their happenings with one another leading up to the election in 2016, okay? If you had something like that you were willing to parade him through the streets with, of course, if you had something on him about Epstein, you'd have let it go earlier to make sure he didn't become the 47th president. That's just my thinking from a logical perspective. But what do I know? Either way you slice it, when that kind of stuff is going on, all it does is foster the continual divide that is inevitably going to exist.
One side hates each other so much that neither side is willing to negotiate and work with one another until desperate times means desperate measures. And the American people are the ones that suffer first, and they're the ones that suffer the most before the residual collateral impact is truly, truly felt. That's the damn problem. And even with the end of this shutdown taking place, I still find myself thinking more of the same, ain't nothing new. A continual resolution likely be reached, be signed, shutdown will probably end, it's going to end today. And as a result, okay, the government will be financed through the end of January. Let's get through the holidays. At least this ain't going on during Thanksgiving. At least this ain't going on through Christmas. At least this ain't going on through New Year's Eve. And we'll go into the New Year's, and then we can be the same old sorry ass as we've been. At the expense of the American people. That's 866-96-POTUS. Up next, Democratic representative from Pennsylvania, Madeleine Dean, will be on with us. I think for a second y'all should go to break before I cut somebody out, because I'm really in that kind of mood. Back with more Straight Shooter with Stephen A. in a minute.